One year ago, Jean-Bertrand Aristide was elected Haiti's president for the second time. Haitians voted for him in overwhelming numbers, but the priest-turned-politician has been unable to free his country from political and economic stagnation. An electoral dispute has blocked hundreds of millions of dollars in desperately needed foreign aid, and twice this year, gunmen have attacked the government in alleged coup attempts. NPR's Jerry Haddon reports from Port-au-Prince.
On a sandy flat near the Bay of Port-au-Prince stands the remains of one of Haiti's most dreaded prisons, called Fort Dimage. Here, untold thousands of Haitians were held and murdered under the Duvalier dictatorships and other strongman governments of the late 20th century. Victims were crammed into tiny cement cubicles stacked one atop the other. Few survived. Today, the weather-beaten fort is a squatter's camp for hundreds of Haiti's poorest. In the courtyard, women make pancakes from clay to stave off hunger. The men, like 40-year-old Aris Israel, venture out for work, usually in vain. Life has not improved here since Aristide took office a year ago, but Israel says the people have not lost faith in their president.
In 1990,
we voted for Aristide. We love Aristide, and it's not the lack of food that will make us turn our backs on him. We voted for him again last year. The people love Aristide and see that he is for the people. He is the people and wants to work for the poor.
Aristide first rose to power over a decade ago, a poor man's preacher who became Haiti's first democratically elected president, beating a rival favored by the United States. 8 months into office, he was overthrown by his military. Its campaign of terror sent tens of thousands of Haitians adrift for Florida. In 1994, despite Aristide's protectionist economic views, the Clinton administration gambled and reinstalled him following an invasion. Aristide finished his term, sat out the next, then won again last year in an election boycotted by opposition candidates. Haitians celebrated for days. The obstacles Aristide faces today are daunting and familiar. Much-needed foreign aid remains held up over a May 2000 vote-counting dispute that affects a handful of Senate seats. A small but influential coalition of Aristide foes called Convergence has refused to recognize his government, demanding new elections for the entire parliament. Larry Burns is executive director of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs, a Washington think tank that opposes Haiti's economic isolation. Byrne says Convergence has neither a platform nor a significant voter base, but he says it does have U.S. support as a counterbalance to Aristide.
What has been tragic about U.S. policy and Western policy towards Haiti has been they don't recognize that outside of Aristide there is no one else who has sufficient backing and is sufficiently trusted by the average Haitian to bring a desperately needed resolution to that beleaguered land.
Aristide has his internal opponents, from among the upper class, the disbanded military, drug dealers, and former thugs from the Duvalier years. Many are armed. In July and December, gunmen attacked key government buildings in alleged coup attempts. Following the December attack on the National Palace, tens of thousands of Aristide supporters took to the streets in protest. Some marched to the Convergence headquarters and razed it in retaliation. Paul Denis is a Convergence spokesman.
On the morning of December 17, after the supposed coup attempt, activists came and ransacked and torched the building. The next morning, they returned and stole what was left. The security guard fled and hid with some neighbors. We say that since that date, Aristide has assassinated and buried any chances for negotiation.
The Organization of American States is poised to send more mediators to Haiti to try once again to broker a compromise. This year, Haiti's trade deficit has soared. Unemployment is at 80%, but this nation of 6 million people can count some small successes. The main road from the airport is being paved, a national literacy campaign is underway, and residents in the capital say the streets are dramatically safer since Aristide came back to office. Deep in a crowded Port-au-Prince market, 52-year-old mother of three, Matoual Thais, sells goat meat under a tattered awning.
We manger, l'école, c'est eux-mêmes qui puis monter.
Food prices and school costs have gone up, but one good thing is theft has gone down, giving us some peace.
Aristide has implemented a zero-tolerance policy to counter a vicious crime wave. Police now have greater liberty to mete out justice against crooks caught in the act. It has spawned human rights abuses, some say, but the program is popular among a populace that feels vulnerable. It is said that to rule Haiti effectively, you must have the support of those masses. And by and large, the people still support Aristide. But as Aristide himself once said, without foreign aid, he will fail. So Haiti remains in a state of suspension, racked by poverty, and political solutions appear remote. Jerry Hatton, NPR News, Port-au-Prince, Haiti.